I hear somebody breathing out.
Been you awake?
It's a yawn.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
The last day.
Yeah, well, remember when we on Monday and Wednesday nights now?
I don't know. We'll just have to order pizza and join the call.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Hi.
Well, here's a quick question for you guys while waiting for people to show up here on the last night of class. When they sent you guys the DISC coaching catalyst, did they include the section on DISC humor? You guys recall that. Here's how you know when your D is too high. You're walking around a lake, decide to walk across it just for a change of pace.
I did that this morning.
See, there we go. You arrive at work at 8 o'clock, and by 8:03, no one is talking to you. Let's see, know your high I.
Had a good day.
That's a good day. You know your I is too high. When you leave a message on a friend's answering machine, call back 4 times to get it all on. Or you know your I is too high when you try to impress your garbage collector by placing odor-absorbing devices in your garbage cans. Let's see. You know your S is too high when you listen for 30 minutes to a telephone salesperson selling snow removal equipment, and you live in Florida.
Oh, hey now, come on.
Let's see. This is too high when you're checked for signs of life by an office employee who spots a spider building a web between your chair and you. You know your C is too high. You begin your summer vacation by reading all of your insurance contracts.
Oh, my God.
Is there a problem with that?
You know your C is too high. You run out of gas intentionally. Find out exactly how much you can get per gallon on that last tank, on that last gallon of gas.
What? Right. Can you say that last one again, Dave?
You run out of gas on purpose to find out exactly how much, how far your car goes in that last gallon of gas. A little DISC humor.
Information to know.
Throw that in free of charge. No charge whatsoever for the DISC humor, because it's about what it's worth, too. So let us get attendance here. Kevin.
Good evening, Dave.
Good evening. And Francis.
Yes, here I am.
You had Rochelle.
I'm here.
Selena.
I'm here.
There's Selena. Okay, Michelle.
I'm here.
And David.
Here, Dave.
And Phyllis.
I'm here.
Gary.
I'm here, Dave.
Gita. Ronaldo.
Here.
James. Deborah Galley. Tanya.
Here.
Lynette.
Present.
Deb Gilchrist.
Here.
Ron.
I'm here.
Robin.
Robin's here.
Robin's here. Lonnie.
Yeah, I'm here.
Tammy.
Here.
Trudy.
I'm here.
Heather.
I'm here.
And Jay.
I am here.
All right, very good.
And now, Michelle Kadushin's here.
Michelle Kadushin is here. Yep, I got you. Who just joined the call?
Gita.
Hi, Gita, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, you should make sure you listen to the recording of the class. You get all the disc humor we had earlier. It's well worth the time listening to the recording for disc humor. Ooh.
Oh!
All right, so speaking of the recordings, they'll be up there for you for at least another 30 days. Same web page I issued to you guys earlier. Just keep putting recordings on the bottom. So they'll be there for at least a month. If you guys listen to those things again, it'd be worthwhile. Of course, you can do it before you take the exam as well. We'll talk about the exam here just briefly. The exam will go out to you guys later this evening. So you should see it in your mailbox first thing tomorrow morning, if not sooner. You've got a week to get it back in to me. Unlike the CTA exam, you get one chance at this. You don't pass the exam the first time. You have to go wait till the next class is offered, take it again to certify. Now, I'll tell you that, but I'll tell you, I think I've had 4 failures, 5 failures in the last 3 years. So it's not common to fail. And frankly, I think if you fail the exam, you're not paying attention very well because it's not that hard. What else should I tell you as we roll things out here? As you get certified, I'll send the thing to you in your email. So if you don't get it back from me within 24 hours, there's something wrong. Either I didn't get it or you didn't get my reply, one of the two. So if you don't hear back in 24 hours, give me a call. We'll find a way to get things to you. Okay?
How many days do we have to take the test?
You've got a week. You got till I go to bed next Wednesday night.
Okay. So it's done. Okay.
Yeah. So you got a week. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Now, Dave, hi, it's Gita. Is there any way of downloading the class audio? Because I tried to download them so that I would just have them as a reference tool, and there isn't that option. So I don't know if they can be emailed to me as an MP3.
They're kind of big to email. I could ask about downloading capabilities from CTA, see if they can allow that or not.
Okay.
They're a little large to try and email the people.
Oh, I wonder if they've got a cloud account that they can put their MP3s into and I can download them from there.
I'll ask CTA if they have something to do for us that way.
Okay, because I can just give them my cloud details. Okay, perfect.
Okay.
And can I just ask what the pass rate is on the exam?
Well, I'd say I've only had 4 failures in the last 3 years, and there's an average of about 15 to 20 per class. So you have to work hard to fail this exam. I mean, it's not that easy.
Okay.
It's not like it's all, big bright red letters where the right answers are. But if you pay attention and you use your material in front of you, you can take the exam in 20 to 30 minutes and be done, and you'll be fine. You can have up to 7 incorrect answers. There's a combination of, check all that apply, a couple of fill in the blank, mm-hmm. one short, give an explanation of. You have seven incorrect answers and still pass. So you got to work pretty hard. You got to really try to fail this exam.
Oh, well, I don't do failure. So.
Well, some people don't do failure very well at all.
No, I don't do failure. Probably my profile. That's probably in my profile, being a high I and a high D. Okay, perfect. Brilliant. Thank you.
All righty. So let's review. We've done here to date over the last five sessions. We started with the disk model, and actually we started with Marston's theories about the disk model, and then moved into the classical theories we use today. And they're important because they are related, and I sometimes use Marston's model myself to say, what style is this person based on, I think they have, interact with the universe around them. So that's really helpful to understand Marston's model. Very important discussions we had about what disk does and does not measure. And I'll tell you, a few things to take away from this class that are really important, and that's one of them. Disk is a wonderful tool. It is a tool. It is not all-encompassing. And so you have to know what it doesn't measure and how people can be different that way. We talked about the Johari window and how it relates back to the idea of disk and to coaching. And I'll tell you guys, we talked about Johari window, but we touched on it just really briefly. If you have some time, go ahead and read about Johari window. It's a very powerful tool for you guys using your coaching practice. Of course, we discussed the behavioral style chart and the ability to be able to draw that as you were talking about what disk is to somebody else, how powerful that is. We discussed the four primary behavioral styles, the D, I, S, and C, tips for coaching each of those styles. And then we discussed combination styles, again, critically important in separating disc professionals from disc amateurs. We start with the four quadrants because you got to start someplace, and that's the basics. But you get into combinations, that's where the power really is in disc. And we discussed some ideas of how to coach some of those combination styles and challenges you might have in those combination styles. All right. So questions about their history there at all? All right. So there are a couple of ways, there are two ways to administer a disc assessment. And you guys all took the online assessment. It's easy. It's quick. I'll cover it in more detail in a few minutes here. But let's spend a few minutes talking about the paper profile because it really does give you some more power in terms of understanding disk and showing how it can work for you. So paper profiles take a lot longer to administer. There's a lot more work involved. But if you do a few of those yourself, by the way, you begin to grasp the concept of how this comes together, everything means, become much more clear to you. I think I told you guys the other night when I did this that when I first did my first paper profile, it's done as a scratch-off, you know, with the side of a coin to reveal different characters. And when I first did it, I scratched off every box to see what they all said. Yes, I am a high C. Thank you very much. It's really good if you can do it with paper. You got a room full of people who are non-believers, natural skeptics, a bunch of high C's, because you can show them how it's done. And they'll begin to grasp it a little better if they can see themselves how it's actually calculated. It's also good for people who are computer illiterate. I had a client a couple of years ago. He was a home builder. He would do his home teams, his building teams, and I did. Most of them didn't even have computers. We did it with paper. It was very effective. They learned a lot about it, but it was really good for that kind of a tool. But it's also good if you want to go buy cheap because they're cheaper than the computer profiles are also. talk about that in a few minutes here as well. It does take more time because you have to spend the time for them to not only scratch off all the boxes, but calculate all the scores. You need to allow 7 to 8 minutes for them to respond to it. If you're doing it by in person on paper, you want to get a time on them. Force them to do it quickly. It takes too much time to overthink it, try and solve it if you will. Make them do it 7 to 8 minutes. You got left about 30 minutes for calculations to get done. Especially if you do this in a group. If you do this in a group, you'll find one person will invariably not have the results come right because their scores don't add up properly. And it's almost always the team leader who has that problem. And when you do the paper profiles, of course you do DISC, but you also calculate your classical pattern. We'll discuss that here in a few minutes as well. Paper profiles have a downside. They can sometimes lead those very confusing why questions, which, since we're not PhDs, we can't always answer very well. But I found it to be very useful, and I very seldom get stumped on the why questions. They're not that hard for me, but it can lead to more questions about why this, why that. Why'd they choose that word? I don't know. They're PhDs. They chose the words, okay? Sorry. All right. So you have in front of you in your stuff for today a page that shows you what the paper profile looks like. It's called Social Response Page for Calculating DISC. You can see you've got the blocks of four words, and they're blocked out there with shading or non-shading to show you the different categories. If you look at the first set of words, pick the one that's most like you, least like you, and you actually then scratch it off with a coin. Very old-fashioned, very quaint. Works like a champ, though. Okay?
Now, where do we get these, Dave?
I have them. You can buy them from me. I sell things to my students at discounted prices. So,
how much are the paper ones compared to the electronic version?
They're about two-thirds of cost electronic. The actual cost of the profiles depends on how you get them, and I'll cover that in a few more minutes here. But
okay.
These are about $21 a piece, something like that.
Okay.
Okay. And I carry them with me in my car or in my briefcase because, you know what, I had a chance to show somebody how to do this, I'm going to do that.
Do you charge them for it?
$20? I don't charge them. Executive. And what I'm really doing is basically selling them the profile, the workshop for his team while I do his profile.
Mm-hmm.
So for a $20 right. investment, I get a $5,000 or $6,000 workshop. Yeah, I'll give away profiles all day long for a $6,000 workshop at $20 a piece.
It's a great marketing tool. I've got a couple of clients now waiting for me to finish potential clients.
And when I first started teaching this class on my own, I actually called it "Let DISC Open the Doors" because I sold it as a marketing tool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great way to bring clients on board. Mm-hmm. They think you're magic. They think you can read tea leaves.
Well, that's great.
Right. So you check off the boxes that are most and least, and you see the different symbols that are there. They don't tell you DISC. That'd be way too obvious. So they give you like squares and circles and triangles, that kind of stuff. Okay? But that's how you do that. And you do that for 7 minutes. Then you go
it gives
into...
You squares. Sorry.
Sorry?
Squares. Oh, sorry, just jotting that down. Squares, circles, and triangles, it kind of
squares, circles, triangles, and something else. I forget what the other one is. Squares, circles, and there's a star.
Okay.
Which means none of the above, and there's one other character as well.
Okay.
There are five on there, not four. Because the fifth one, the star, is none of the above.
Ah, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So after you've scratched off all the different boxes on there, what you have to start to do then is this is the part where it gets really a little bit tedious. You have to count the responses. Okay? So it tells you in the little profile book which ones to count where. But basically, you're going to go through all the most column and count the number of squares. And that equates to one of the four profile types. Count the number of circles in the most column. That gives you another type. Count the number of triangles. That gives you a third type. Okay. So you do that for all four of these, including the stars, and you post them in that most line. It's actually inside the profile. It's inside the little book that you have. And since there are 28 sets of words, there ought to be a total of 28 things you scratched off in the most column. Okay? And very soon it's going to get 27. They're going to get 29. And you go, no, it's, say, is that close enough? No, it's got to be exactly 28. You scratched off 28 most answers. Should have 28 as the number here on this.
Now, you said the most is circles?
No, the most comes from, if you look at the profile, the response page, you're going to go down the most column and count the different objects that appear there, each one individually.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay?
Hey, Dave?
Yes.
Hi, this is Lena. So I see this slide where it says most, least, and change, but I don't see where you're talking about the different shapes.
I don't either.
Let me do it again. When you're on the page that has the words on it.
Yeah.
And you start, what you sit there and say is, enthusiastic, is that word most like me or least like me? Well, that's a most. I'm going to scratch off where the most column is.
Oh, so the shapes are, obviously the scratches.
It's the scratch out. The point I sent to you guys doesn't scratch off, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
Oh.
Okay, but the ones we actually have that are real, well, yeah.
Gotcha.
If you try to scratch off what I sent to you, go to the back of the classroom because really that's really pretty silly. Okay.
But it is under there. It's the shape.
The real profile, but it is actually under there, yes.
Okay.
All right.
I was confused. Thank you.
Okay. So you calculate the most by add up the different types there, and that goes in the top line of the calculation. The very same thing for the least, and that's the bottom line, the second line of the calculation. And again, there are a few there that may be stars, which are none of the above, but again, you should have 28 because you scratched off 28 least boxes. Okay? And then literally, the third line on there is line 1 minus line 2. So if your D had 6 in the most column and 2 in the least column, what goes in column 3 underneath D would be 4, 6 minus 2. If you had 10 eyes, if you had 10 eyes as the most and 14 eyes as the least, you would have a negative 4. And on row 3. So they can be positive, they can be negative. Okay? Same thing is true of the S's. How many were on graph 1 in the most column? How many were on graph, how many were on the S's were in the least column? Take the difference, plot it on line 3. Same thing is true for the C's. Most minus the least. And that answer goes there on line 3.
And what is the star there?
Sorry?
The star column?
The star column is not going to be relevant because it's not going to get posted anyplace.
Oh, all right.
Those are none of the above.
Okay.
What you're going to do then, if you've done that little bit of math work there, you're actually going to post on 3 graphs inside the workbook. you'll go to the one that marked the most graph, and you'll post the D, I, S, and C on your paper copy to create that graph one.
Okay.
Okay? You'll take the numbers from line two, the least numbers, you'll create graph two by plotting those four numbers across on the chart. And it'll say it's right inside the workbook for you. Then you'll create graph three by going through and saying, okay, the thing the most minus the least, you did the math, and that's where it goes, right in there. And you'll post that on graph three. Okay. I know it's a little confusing. Are there questions so far?
No, it's pretty good.
Okay. Now, when you post those things on there, there's actually instructions in there for calculating the classical pattern that it is. Okay? And what you're going to end up with is a number at the bottom where you did the most minus the least. And there's a big chart in the book. It's like 4 pages long of all the possible combinations. Luckily, they're in order. You can look through there and find the one that matches your pattern, and that's what goes inside there. That's your classical pattern. Let me say it again a little differently to help it be a little clearer. As you post the numbers, you're going to get a result at the bottom that gives you the classical pattern. Okay? It's a series of four numbers. And when you get those four numbers, it's actually the segment numbers, is what they call them. Okay? When you post on graph three, on the right-hand side of the graph, is something called a segment number. And those segment numbers are what make up your classical pattern. So for example, I have in front of me, if the D, if your D on graph three was in segment, was a negative three, that would be a segment number five. When you post it on the chart, it equates right across the line to a segment number. It's a big number. You can hardly miss it, but it's right there. Same is true with the I. You post the I on the graph three chart, look across to the right, it tells you what the segment number is for that. Post the S across to the right, it tells you the segment number. Do the C, look to the right, the segment number, and it goes in the, there's four boxes at the bottom of the chart, and that's where it goes in. That gives you the four numbers you have to have for the classical pattern. And then there's a classical pattern table right inside the profile. And all you do is look up a number and say, okay, I did it, and it was 7271 was my pattern. I go to the table, look in the categories, and say, okay, where's my 7? Okay, there's my 7271. Oh! That is an achiever pattern. And now I have my classical pattern for it. Okay, so also in the paper profile is, it's like in your computerized profile, all the classical patterns are in the back of the profile. So they're all there for you. So it's not as personalized as the computer profile is, but it's the same calculations done to create it. Okay? It's a little, you know, it's not that it's hard to do, but it does take a little bit of practice. So if you plan to use paper profiles, my advice is to buy a couple of them and use them on friends and family to practice how to do the calculations so you can do them smoothly and easily. And do what I did, scratch off all the boxes and see what they all say.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So a handy little tool, very nice to use, very inexpensive. And I say you can do it very quickly because you can do it right when someone's talking to you. Say, I do them over lunch. Because I can do this, you know, when I do these things, I know how to create them in a hurry, and I can do them while we're still talking.
I just looked at my graph page, and I saw it says segment number, and then it's got the numbers. So I guess that's it's easy enough to do.
Yeah. You plot the points on the graph. You look at that graph 3 and identify the segment numbers, and you post them on the profile here exactly. Look up in the table, get the number. You're all set.
Right.
Say in a group. I've done a group a few times. It takes more time because invariably somebody gets an incorrect answer where they've got 27 or 29 or 30 responses. And you go, no, it's got to be 28. Well, I'm sure it's right. It's not right. Sorry.
Hey,
yes,
Renalda. The 7271 number, is that the exact pattern number for an achiever? Because that doesn't match what's in the example that we covered in our book. On
it's
page
one
15.
Of the numbers for an achiever. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 full pages of the numbers on here. 727
right.
Was on the very border for the achiever. Okay? But all the numbers are here, and they're all here with a pattern next to them. So you just have to look it up and write it in. Yeah, 7271 is kind of an odd number for an achiever, though. You're right, because of the fact that D is not usually that high on an achiever. But the I and the C are that low. Anyway, that's how you do that. It's really good when people are not technology savvy. It's cheaper, so it can save some money over the computerized profiles. If you have a lot of C's in the room and they want to see how it's done, you can show them there. You can use it to show off your knowledge of DISC and how you do this. I use them as giveaways after a speech. I'll make a speech about DISC. I'll give someone the profile in the room and literally get it for them right then when the speech is over, right then when they're together with them. So it's a great giveaway that way. It's a great giveaway as a sales lead.
So in other words, you, at the end of this your talk, they do the actual,
people all sit there and say, pass your business cards in for a chance to win a free DISC profile on the spot right here. They pass their cards in. I draw one at random. I keep the others for marketing purposes, obviously. Oops. But the one person who wins will sit down for 15, 20 minutes, and I'll create their DISC profile for them right on the spot.
Oh, wow, good.
Yeah.
I like that.
So when I was doing this earlier, I was actually giving away about 80 of these things a year. Because I was giving away a lot of them, and I got a lot of workshops out of it. It's a great way to hook people into what DISC is all about if the computer's not available. Now, if the computer's available, it's a much better-looking profile and much more personalized. But this is a great way to learn about DISC, to experience DISC, and be able to show people how it really works. Okay?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Now, you can also do them, as you guys did yours, online. We send someone an access code. It's like I sent you guys an access code. They click on the link. They fill out the assessment. The results are available immediately. Now, what you can do there, though, is you have the option to sit there and say, when the profile is complete, they can see it right away. Or you can say, the profile is complete, they cannot see it right away. They can see it when I hand it to them. So when I do workshops and things like that, I use the they cannot see the profile. you know, I take it with me to the session and give it to them there. When you guys did it, though, you had the option of saying to it, I want to see it right away. You guys can see yours right away, and you had it for the class. So it's an option. There are actually a few options. That's one of them. And the other, another option is there's a Word version like you guys took, like you saw in the paper profile, or there's a phrase version where instead of a single word, there's a slight phrase there. For those who don't speak English quite as well, or maybe a little younger, not as educated, the phrase is easier for them. I use those very seldom, but it is available. Also available in Spanish right away. So you can do it. You can do the whole thing in Spanish if you want to. And you have the option to have the three graphs or not have all three graphs. I always like to get all three graphs. Now, when you do the online profile, you need someone's name and email address. And after that, if you have that information, it's only about 2 minutes to log on, enter the information, the email address, the person's name, these options, and send the access code. So it really is very, very quick to get a profile out the door through the system we have called Epic. And if you've got a big class full of people, you actually can put them into a spreadsheet, upload the spreadsheet, do them all at the same time. So Epic is very quick and easy to use. I'll cover to get to Epic in a few minutes here, but so I just want to make sure you guys are clear. You have a paper version or an online version. Either one of them is going to work just fine for you, whatever you want to use for yourself.
So a quick question, Dave. Is Inkscape's online system Epic?
Yes, the system's called Epic.
Okay. Thank
and
you.
We have to say, I think it's actually technically it's Wiley now. It was Inkscape. Wiley purchased them. So this year there's a transition in the naming. You'll see I've been going out. It said Inkscape before. Now it says Wiley on it. That's just happening because they got bought out last year.
Hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you make money with this? Well, there's a lot of ways to make money with this. The simple one is to use it as a coaching add-on. Make it a part of your coaching practice. I do not require it of new clients, although most of mine get it because most of them know me as the Denver Disc Specialist, and they come to me because they want to have disc assessments done. So that's fairly common, but it's not a requirement to coach someone to have disc. If he has a coaching add-on for it, it allows you to have that common language so you can call them out on improper behavior without, you know, calling them names, if you will. You can talk about the fact that, well, that high diesel-y popping out now, isn't it? They go, oh, I'm getting a little aggressive, am I? Yeah, just a little bit here. All right. Disc gives that nice, non-threatening language to use that allows you to call things out without coming across as too harsh. It gives you insights into the blind spots through the Johari window, and it makes it obvious for you and for the client what those blind spots are. It identifies the natural strengths and weaknesses of your client so they can see them for themselves as well. And it usually leads to an acknowledgement that says, you know what, I was going to say that about myself before, but now that I'm seeing it here, yeah, that is a problem for me. Okay. You can identify sources of conflicts and fears. And it's great for sitting there saying, what's off a plan for you and your boss, your coworker, your spouse, by having two disc profiles, see how they match and don't match, and then saying, what do you have to do to meet the other person halfway to get a better relationship? For example, if I know disc and you don't, and we're having some conflicts in terms of our relationship, I can adapt my behavior to match what your needs are. Well, yeah. That's a lot of work for me. If we both know disc, you can meet me halfway. It's a lot less work for both of us. So two people with just profiles, you need to make a plan that says, you need to do these things differently to get some results. They'll do these things differently to get some results, and you can both meet together in the middle. You can do it. You can use profiles to sell them with coaching as part of an add-on. So, you know, you can sit there and say, yeah, I can sell you this profile for you for $50, or I'll sell you the profile plus a coaching session for $150 as a way to hook people in, again, to long-term coaching. Because when they see the power you can provide them with the DISC profile and your own insights as to how it really works, it's a great way to have them see the real power for themselves and want to become your client.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
So I gave you guys some reports.
What's that last, the last line? Can be used to develop what? On that page, making money with DISC?
Oh, but can be used to develop relationship plans.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Mm-hmm. So I sent you guys the DISC Plus reports for you guys to look at. Now, the DISC Plus report takes the basic report you guys got and adds more detail onto it on six different categories, creating a positive relationship, relating to people in the environment, how they want to be managed, how they should manage others, their approach to selling, and how they would do in sales management. Now, this report is available.
Dave, I'm sorry. I
only taken the DISC Classic 2.0. Can get these additional reports as well.
Okay, which of the four files, Dave, did you refer to that you were referring to that has all of that in?
The DISC Classic 2.0 Plus report I sent you guys?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Got it. I didn't hear you.
It's the basic DISC report plus up to six additional add-ons. Now, this is a little confusing, but I'll walk through it a little slowly here for you. Anybody who takes a DISC profile, the 2.0 classic profile, can get these add-ons. You can get them for them. The cost for these profiles, these add-ons, is basically the same. It's the same cost as the report itself. So that sounds really confusing. It's basically, if you get the plus reports, you're going to pay for the report up front, DISC classic report, and then pay the same amount again for the plus report. So if you pay $37.50 for the DISC Classic report, you want to have these plus reports added on as well, that's $37.50 also. Okay?
But it's basically $70 is what you're saying.
It's double the cost of the basic report.
Right, so that's $70.
Get two parts,
okay.
Twice the cost. Now,
okay, so
here's what's interesting to you guys here is that
it's $75.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can give someone the basic report and say, oh, I charge you for it, I charge you X number of dollars. I think we need to do one of these add-on reports here. And you can charge them for the add-on report. But you can charge them for them, if you want to, one at a time. But if you get one of these reports or all six of them, there's no change in cost to you. So, again, give them the basic report, charge them for it, come back a month later and say, let's create a positive relationship for you on a plus report. That's an additional X number of dollars. They say, fine. You go into the system, release that second report, and you pay your fee, the additional report. A month later, you say, let's do how you want to be managed. You charge them a fee for that if you want to. You go in the system. You've already enabled plus reports for them, so no additional fee for you at that point in time. So additional reports become nothing more than pure profit for you as a coach. Once you've enabled the plus reports and paid your fee, you can get one of them. You can get all of them for the very same charge. that reasonably clear?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, good. It always confuses me. All right. How to use this with your code with your clients, again, gives you and the client a common language to use in discussing what's going on in your coaching sessions. Can be used to identify areas of opportunity. Can open the door for emotional intelligence. And can be a great sales tool. Those are all things you can use to get this with your clients and why you'd want to consider using it. It works in a business office relationship. It works at home as well. If you're going to use a home environment, you sit there and say, when you sit down for it, it says, put yourself in a work environment. Just say, put yourself in a home environment. Answer as though you're working, you are at home with your family. All right. So, how do you get DISC? Depends on how you want to use it. If you're going to use it occasionally, maybe 8-10 profiles a year or less, the best thing to do is to call someone, me or someone like me, who has access to the report and say, I want to buy this report for my client. Here's their name and email address, and we're going to send you a bill for it. You're buying those things at retail. In this case, the retail price right now is $37.50 for the computerized report. All you do is send me the information. I send you a bill through PayPal. When they take the assessment, I'll send the report back to you so you'll have it. It's pretty easy to do. And for 10 a year, it's a good option. The bad side to that is the report comes out, it's got my name on it and my logo, my contact information. But for 8 or 10 a year, it's the best option for you to do it in a way that's very economical for yourself. Now, if you're going to do more than that per year, and maybe even do a couple of workshops, another option is to do what they call a sub-account. Now, in the first option, you email the information to me, I log on to Epic, I do the assessment for you, I send it out to the client, the access code, I send you the results. You're kind of at my mercy, if you will, in terms of would I be near the computer again? If I'm out someplace, you send one to me, it might be a day before I get back to home to get it done. Rare, but it happens that way. If you have a sub-account, that gives you direct access yourself to the Epic sub-account. Epic system, I should say. That means that you can log on whenever you want to, enter the name, email address, create the report whenever you want to, whether it be 7 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, middle of the night. You can do it all yourself. Profiles at that point in time come out with your name and your contact information and your logo on them. There is a fee to do a sub-account. It's $165 to set up a sub-account. And then the way it works is like a checking account, actually. You have to put money in before you can take things out. So in this case, what you have to do is you have to buy Epic credits to go into your account, and then as you use them, they're withdrawn from your account, redeem them, if you will, for profiles. So when you first open the Epic account, you have to buy 100 credits to, if you will, stock your checking account. They currently retail for $360 a piece, but I sell them a discount to the students at $290 a piece. So it's going to cost you 100 credits for $290 each, $290 plus $165 for your setup fee. It's going to cost you $455 to get your account initially set up. And then you do the reports yourself. Now, what you can see here is that when you're getting credits at $290 apiece, reports will cost you then $29 versus $37.50 at retail. So it does pay for itself after about 15 or 20 profiles. It's actually cheaper to have a sub-account than just to buy them one at a time. And then every January, there's a $20 renewal fee for your sub-account. To show you're interested in still keeping it up there, or to maintain it, $20 renewal fee. So most reports, the DISC Classic $2 report we used for this class is 10 credits. There are a number of other reports as well you can get out that you can use that are also 10 credit reports. So they cost you, in fact, $29 each. The example earlier of the Plus reports, if you do them retail, you're paying $37.50 for the basic report, $37.50 for the add-ons, $75. You do it through your Epic Sub account, $29 for the initial report, $29 for the add-on reports, $58, obviously much cheaper that way. Not all reports are 10 credits, though. I sent you guys some of the newer reports also from the Everything Disk Workplace, Everything Disk Management. Everything Disk Workplace is a 15-credit report. Everything Disk Management is a 25-credit report. So you'll see those things in your account, the availability to get those kind of things when you have an Epic Sub account, and you can decide to yourself, do I want to use Disk Classic, which is what I use primarily, or do I want to go to the other report styles that cost more? Your choice to make that point in time. So, are there questions about how all that works? It's a lot, isn't it?
Yes, it is a lot.
A lot of information there.
A little bit too much to sort of grasp right
yeah.
now.
But we can email you if we have more questions, right?
Yeah, I like if you guys want, I will send out to you guys, I'll do it anyway after class is over tonight, a description of the sub-account, a one-page summary of what it's all about and how it works. You guys can see how you want it, if you want to do that or not. If you're going to do a bunch of reports, it's cheaper to get a sub-account. If you do them just occasionally, cheaper just to do them at retail. Okay? You can always start retail and change sub-account later on if you want to. But I would tell you, if you know you're going to use it a lot, sub-account's going to save you money after about 15, 20 reports.
That $455 to
yeah.
set it up, is that all we do have to put out, or is that once a year we got to put that out?
Oh, the $165 setup fee is the initial fee. And the $290 beyond that is the fee for the credits. So
okay.
when you use the credits, and you say you've had 100 credits in your account, and you've used 10 reports, now you're out of credits, you've got to go back and buy more credits.
They're
$290 each right now.
Okay.
If the price of the credits goes up, I'll know in advance if they're going to go up. I can tell you guys about them. And they don't expire. So what I do when the price goes up from Wiley, I buy a bunch of credits at the cheaper price. And when
okay.
the price goes up, I'm still using my older credits at the reduced price.
Now, we're recouping our money when we do these big meetings because you charge the people for the assessment or no?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, because you're going to be charging them for the assessment, and if you get them to the sub account, it's $8.50 cheaper to the sub-account. So after 20
okay.
reports, it's paid for itself.
Okay, right.
Yeah. And then every year in January is the renewal fee of $20, but the $165 is only a one-time fee to set up the account.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. All right.
Okay, kind of questions you guys have for me about DISC or sub-accounts or buying things or any of that stuff.
Can you go over again making money with DISC, the second page?
Sure. Back to that. Oh, well, it, you can sell a profile with that on coaching. So you can tell people, yeah, I sell just profiles for $50 each. Or I can do sell you a profile with coaching. Help you read and analyze it for $150. Give them an hour of coaching people for $100. And that's kind of a way to hook them in there to what you can do with DISC. Then also on that page, it talks about the DISC Classic 2.0 Plus report, which has more options to it. Create a positive relationship. Relating to people in the environment. How they want to be managed. How they should manage others. Their approach to selling. And sales management. Those are the six categories that are added on in the Plus report.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions?
I couldn't find that piece of paper, Dave, so can you just read off creating a something and relating to something?
Yeah, created a positive relationship.
Okay.
Relating to people and the environment.
Okay, good.
How they want to be managed. How they should manage others, the approach to selling, and sales management.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Other questions? Because you're baffled by it or because it's all clear?
It's very exciting. I'm finding that just what you just went over tonight very, very exciting, and I sort of can't wait to start doing it, you know?
It's a phenomenal tool. I mean, I you know, it helps so much from the standpoint of getting coaching clients and, say, making progress with the clients, know what to expect from them, know what their blind spots are, but also to use it in groups, which we didn't really cover here so much, but you can do it in groups pretty easily. And it's a great way to get into an organization and be there for a long time with the complexities and subtleties of DISC.
Now, if you wanted, like before when you were talking about doing it in a group, how did you get this group together? How did you market it to get this group together in the first place?
I usually market it to executives. This is why I said before that sometimes we'll have lunch, and we talk to the executive. I've met him someplace. We're talking to him, and I mention the DISC stuff, and I go, what's that really all about? I can yank out one of those paper profiles. Let me show you how it works exactly. It usually starts, if it's do it over lunch, is really pretty common. And it starts by and a marker and drawing that DISC four-quadrant model for them.
Right.
And walking them through it. And as they get more intrigued, I can say, let's see how it works exactly. Let me show you. I wake out one of those the paper profiles, do it for them right over lunch.
Right.
Yeah. And that leads into, so suppose you knew about this information about all of your key managers. How would that make you more effective? Oh, man, that'd make me available to do this and this and this. Yeah. How about your employees? Oh, you know. And so it can lead to a lot of things happening once you get that initial barrier of what DISC can do for them.
Okay.
Yeah, natural sale.
Yeah. It really, this part would almost sell itself when they can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some skeptics who are going to sit there and say, yeah, I don't want to do this. All right, that's okay. But you'll be able to tell before you get too far into it if they have an interest in it or not, if they're open to the idea. I have, in one case, I actually gave away a whole workshop to one guy. Gave it to 20 of his people for free. and absorb the cost of that myself because I knew it was going to happen, and it did. Turned into a whole bunch of more stuff. I sold them for $1,000 more beyond the initial. It was actually, I gave it to his leadership team. So like 6 or 7 of them, gave it to them for free, and then sold to his entire organization after that because they all loved it. And by the way, when you go to an organization or with an individual, what you don't want to do is say, here's the assessment, here's what it means, thanks a bunch, see you later. You want to come back again and again to reinforce it, to, you know, they create action plans, how to do on the action plan, what do you need to change in the action plan, who else did you apply this to? You can go back again and again and again with the same group of people to reinforce DISC for a long time.
Uh-huh. And I can vouch for that because I use DISC a lot with my clients. So I do know it's a really, really powerful tool for coaching, especially areas of challenges and when they're dealing with, especially with dysfunctional teams and when you're dealing with like leadership groups and communication, very, very powerful.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, very good.
Okay. So you guys all have my phone number and my email address. You know, don't be shy. If you're starting to do this on your own and need some guidance or help, feel free to give me a call. I'm happy to assist you guys. If you do go the route of a sub-account especially, I mean, I'm always there for support to help you guys get acclimated and use it. And especially interpret those first three reports because you sit there and say, I got the report. Now, what do I do now? Oh, I call Dave. That's what I do. And I'll help walk you through what you should look for. Okay?
Oh, thanks, you guys.
You're very welcome. So I'll get the exam out to you guys here in the next 30 minutes or so. I'll send out separately a sub-account description for you guys. You can all see those as well. And then I'll look forward to talking to you guys on the phone some point in time if you ever have questions about how to use DISC.
Okay. Oh, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right, everybody.